Divided Kingdom, the evening program of news that many of you look forward to. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly.
Jesus Christ is always our head news anchor. Without him, we mortals are mere dust, soon to return to dust. It's October 11th as we broadcast live in Global Star. The major news right now is the Palestinian assault on Israel. Elizabeth and I have some thoughts on the situation. To any of those pasty-faced, weakling American so-called Christian pastors who like joining up with radical Islam and calling it Chrislam, we say, how stupid can you be? Stupidity, sometimes, may not be accidental. Today, when I informed Elizabeth that babies had been beheaded and over 900 Israeli citizens and some Americans had been slaughtered, she said, quote, well, where was the IDF soldiers? Or where were they? Unquote. I had to answer, that's a good question. A lot of people are talking about why there were strange intelligence failures. This, to our minds, smells too much like the perplexing truth that after 9/11 it took military jets from Virginia far too long to reach New York City. Also, years back, Alex Jones claimed Israel itself had started Hamas. This is akin to the U.S. deep state having helped create ISIS. There just is nothing simple about the Rahm Emanuel New World Order. We create crises to bring in solutions. Sometimes solutions are wars. Sometimes they are ways to grab up land. Perhaps the goodbye Gaza Strip. Why do we in the United States have dozens of Islamic training bases located all over our country? What are these lying in wait for? Will our government use them one day? When the kill signal is given, will they pick up their arms and go to each American home? We can't be naive that our government and that of Israel, too, are not largely composed of men rabidly devoted to bringing in one-world government. This can certainly include using terrorist groups and chaos to further their objectives. One thing is clear, too. There should be no misplaced sympathy toward these Palestinian terrorists. There was absolutely no justification, no provocation to merit their carnage. And looking at another aspect of this situation, it must be recognized that a true hatred of Jewish people and of Jewish religious beliefs had to be at work, too. These horrific events coincided with Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year for Jewish residents, Jewish people, the Day of Atonement. What about the real hatred of Jews, also known as anti-Semitism? What about so-called replacement theology that claims that God supposedly is done with the Jewish people now that Jesus Christ, his son, was crucified and resurrected? Yet God's word says clearly in the Old Testament that he has an eternal covenant with the Jewish people, who, he says, quote, are the apple of his eye, unquote. God also promised to bring these people home again. The centuries of pogroms, harming and killing Jews in Russia, and their persecution in Spain, Poland, and other countries is an undeniable fact. Why shouldn't these beleaguered people have wanted a movement like Zionism to give them a secure homeland? Researcher Chris Pinto reported that the Vatican required Jews centuries ago to wear yellow stars. They were tracked and stigmatized even then. If it were you or I, wouldn't we want a safe haven for our families? But you ask, do the Jews run the New World Order? Certainly, there are some Illuminati Jews, there are some Khazarians or Ashkenazi Jews. Some of these undoubtedly are part of the New World Order plans and banking system. But we have to refer back to Dr. Stan Monteith's long, hard research on the matter. He, along with the late great Anthony Sutton, found that it was largely Wall Street, big corporations, heads, who fed and aided the Russian Bolshevik Revolution. Monteith, in his book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, stated that after all his research, he concluded that labeling the New World Order plan a Jewish conspiracy was in fact a decoy by the real Anglo-American powers that be. We would also add that the Vatican's immense power, politically and financially, is a cornerstone. It is quite interesting that Dr. Stan found an alternate version of the controversial Protocols of Zion, Protocols of the Elders of Zion, among the papers of Colonel Edward Mandel House, key advisor to Woodrow Wilson and FDR. Were the protocols written? Not by Jews, but by New World Order corporate controllers. So, when Elizabeth and I heard a voice return to shortwave after some years, we paid careful attention. This, quote, pastor, unquote, said, quote, if we don't get rid of Zionism, we'll all be Palestinians, unquote. He meant he saw these Palestinians as poor unfortunates. Now, a couple of months later, he should have egg on his face. Once more, I have to reiterate that the political face and personages in the powers in Israel are strongly New World Order. We've been told that Moderna has a 666 address in Israel. Many of Israel's NWO controllers are anti-Christian, probably as Luciferian as the LGBTQ, woke Biden administration. When Biden goes on TV and expresses how tight the U.S. is with Israel, he is now probably referring to God's solid or sacred covenant to return the Israelites to their nation. But the New World Order, Israel, police state, is just like the NWO, and the NWO politicians in America. But Elizabeth and I have always determined to keep away from fanaticism. Holocaust denial is particularly odious. Just an excuse to keep up Jew hatred. The blanket state...
Hey, Lou, I have to interject here that a long time ago, we had a listener call in, and this just shows the extent of this, orchestrated... Jew hatred that's put out to propagandize. This listener called, and he thought that the Jews who were riding in the cattle cars had it really nice, and it was a nice thing. They were really not under any kind of duress. And when you think of this kind of a distortion, this has to be satanically backed to have a hatred like this for any people, Jews or any people singled out.
Oh, yes, it has to be. Straight from Satan himself. All down through the centuries, the Jews have been persecuted. And these ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous statements that they're in control of things, how would they be so persecuted if they were in control of things? It just doesn't make any sense at all.
But at the same time, we do recognize what you mentioned earlier about the Ashkenazi Jews, who are genetically different. They have a whole different set of, they're genetically, they're just different. They were Eastern Europeans who converted over, and perhaps some of them are in the Federal Reserve. Perhaps some of them are in other places, like the WEF. We're not too sure about everybody's lineage. There was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Some of these personages do overlap, and they, I guess, would be called Illuminati Jews. We remember the late Al Cuppet, when we asked him about this, were there labor Zionists? Barry Chamish brought that out, and Al said, it's all of them. And so you see that re-echoes Dr. Stan Monteith's ideas there that came out of his research that it is a brotherhood of darkness. You know, Satan recruits from every lineage. Don't you think, Lou?
Oh, yes. You can find satanic beings in any ethnic group, any religion, so-called religion, any nationality.
But we can see the distortion, you know, in the U.S. colleges now and in the U.N., the extreme stigmatization of any kind of Israeli businesses. As you see, that never happened to the Palestinian. No. No, and it's always whitewashed, anything the Palestinians do. And when you were talking about these covert terrorist camps that are in the U.S., also there was one of those top leaders of them. He even has a system of schools throughout the U.S. Now, that's pretty amazing that we would allow this to go on here. So we can see this is just one more instance of things that we're bringing out to you that you can't just turn on CNN, you can't turn on Fox, MSNBC, and think that you're hearing the truth about what's going on in politics. No, many things are orchestrated. Many things are just theater as we get ready for the tumultuous year next year, 2024, of the election. And, you know, I was just reading about RFK Jr., that now he's going to be an independent. So, you know, that pretty much seals any chance that he ever has to get to the White House. And this columnist was talking about how he may take some votes away from both Trump and from Biden. But we think that we have to remember back at the inception of the first Obama administration prior to it in Chantilly, Virginia, when the Bilderbergs were meeting there, they were taken onto a plane, that is, Obama and Hillary. And Hillary was told this was not her time. So, you know, we are not largely focusing on the political arena because we know we're under judgment. And so those of you who know why our program is on air, because God is our refuge. God is the director of this program, and we rely on him to help us stay on air. And we thank a number of you for your wonderfully supportive letters and your help. And again, if some of you would like to send, you can send a check made out to WWCR. Right now, that's what we could still use most, some cash to Lou. We have a lot of expenses. We have a lot of things because we are still in a pretty big debt from all those years that we paid for the program alone with no help. So if any of you want to send anything to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, and that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We would be very grateful. And we thank you for stamps, for money orders, for cash, for anything that you can help us with. And most of all right now, please pray for our health to stay strengthened and for Lou particularly to have healing in the next couple weeks. And we know that God can do these miracles. In fact, over that Florida couple, that he put the dome of protection when they went out and they put Old Testament Bible verses out there on the trees. And around them, the neighborhood was ruined by the hurricane, but they didn't lose a leaf off a tree. And I think that it's possible that that couple is of Jewish lineage. We're not entirely sure. They say shalom to us. Al Cuppet used to say shalom. It's shalom, isn't it, Lou?
Yes, it is.
Shalom. And Al Cuppet loved Israel. He loved the people there. He didn't love the New World Order, and Al was no dupe. He said Edgar Bronfman, now Edgar Bronfman was Jewish, he said that he built some kind of a facility that was to kill buffalo. But Al said the measurements didn't work out right. It was more like the size for people. Well, that never went anywhere. It didn't materialize. But you see, we're getting inklings of things that will probably come during the Great Tribulation. And you can also pray for our book. We do hope it is not being stalled. And that is COVID and the Coming Chaos. And we do hope that the Southwest Radio Church Ministry is going to actually finalize the production of it. So do pray for that because we like that scripture, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we ask you to put these things into earnest prayer. Go ahead, Lou. We're back to you again.
Well, just wrapping it up now, one more key investigator, John Loftus, actually found so much about the true state of affairs and the high levels of American government that he wrote a book entitled The Secret War Against the Jews. So now we have to get on with our program entitled More Evil October Omens.
Yes, Lou, we begin our program entitled, as you said, More Evil October Omens with this sobering headline. This was LifeSite News, September 28th, by Stephen Koch. Stephen Cox. Archbishop Vigano, Mel Gibson, sound alarm over, quote, genocide of Armenian Christians. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano is calling on the international community to assist the more than 60,000 ethnic Armenians fleeing war-torn Nagorno-Karabakh, an autonomous, heavily disputed region in a Shiite Muslim majority nation of Azerbaijan that was conquered by that country earlier this month. Vigano's message was supported by traditional Catholic actor Mel Gibson, who has described the events as ethnic cleansing. Where is the international community, always ready to welcome Islamic migrants of military age fleeing war zones or funding a proxy war in Ukraine under the pretext of Russian invasion? Vigano asks. Where is the petulant Bergoglio, according to whom no ethnic replacement is taking place? How did this situation get to this point? Also known as the Republic of Artsakh, Nagorno-Karabakh was a former satellite of the USSR before the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991. Since that time, its 99% Christian population has suffered through three significant conflicts with Azerbaijan, one in 1994, another in 2020, and now the current situation. During the First World War, the Turks committed genocide of Christian Armenians in the Ottoman Empire, leaving more than 1 million dead. Gibson has said that in this instance, history tragically repeats itself. And now this is Elizabeth interjecting that before the First World War genocide of the Armenian people that Mel Gibson was referring to, there were some devout Armenians who were warned by God to flee. And I think there was kind of a prophetic vision there. If we look up the details, it may have been from a God to a young boy. I'm not certain about that anymore. But in fact, some of these Armenians who escaped to America were the ancestors of Kim Kardashian and her sisters. So it's a very interesting thing here, you see. This is very relevant to us when we're talking about any people who is persecuted and how God can warn them and protect them. Back to the article. Despite Russia spending extensive diplomatic and military resources to ensure peace for the approximately 120,000 Armenians who had been living in Nagorno-Karabakh, with President Vladimir Putin's attention turned toward the war in Ukraine, an opening was left for Turkish-backed Azerbaijan President Ilham Aliyev to capture the region. On September 19th, Aliyev's forces launched what his government called an anti-terror operation with artillery and drones. In less than 24 hours, Karabakh Armenians were overrun, including civilian casualties. More than 50% of the population has sought refuge in Armenia, which can only be accessed via the Lachin Corridor, a long and winding road that was previously blocked for 10 months by the Azerbaijan government. The U.S. State Department immediately denounced the attack. Reports from numerous outlets indicate that fleeing Armenians need up to a day or more to traverse the road, sometimes by foot, thanks to traffic delays and fuel shortages allegedly caused by Azerbaijani bad actors seeking to inflict even more suffering on those who are leaving. Many of the refugees are short on water, medical, and food supplies. Archbishop Vigano calls out world leaders. In a post on X, recall, listeners, that used to be called Twitter, it's now X, dated September 27th, Archbishop Vigano expressed great sympathy for the Armenian people. He also noted the hypocrisy of the, quote, international community for not doing more to help the fleeing Christians, but who are always eager to assist Muslim migrants. Quote, the Armenian people, for centuries persecuted by Islam and the communists for their faith, are once again the target of vicious ethnic replacement, he said. Thousands of Armenians are leaving their country, driven from their homes, considered strangers in their homeland.
And Archbishop Vigano went on, I appeal to the institutions of all countries to act promptly by giving aid and protection to the Armenians, opening a humanitarian corridor to receive them, and above all, by taking immediate diplomatic action so that the exiles can soon return to their homes, unquote. It is believed the attacks have left hundreds, if not thousands, of ethnic Armenians dead. Survivors fear for their lives as the, quote, reintegration, unquote, of Nagorno-Karabakh into the Azerbaijan is set to begin on January 1st. When the republic will be officially dissolved. Mel Gibson, Gibson amplified Vigano's message with a recorded video message that the prelate posted on X. The actor observed the similarities between the Armenian genocide of World War I, while also calling for safe passage for those who are fleeing the region. He stated, quote, history tragically repeats itself as we witness a modern-day genocide unfolding. Yet the media's silence in this issue is deafening. The Armenian people, who endured centuries of persecution due to their faith, find themselves once again subjected to a brutal campaign of ethnic cleansing, unquote. And he went on, in the grip of Azerbaijan and Turkey, countless Armenians are enduring unspeakable horrors, loss of life, forced displacement, starvation, and isolation from essential supplies. These are the same Armenians whose roots run deep in a land they called home for generations. I implore the international community across all nations to take swift action, extending a helping hand to the Armenian population, offering them the protection they desperately need, and creating a humanitarian corridor for their safe passage. Most importantly, let's engage in immediate diplomatic efforts to ensure that these exiled individuals are returned to their rightful homes without delay. To the Armenian people who still suffer, I say, don't lose heart. God is with you, unquote. The Azerbaijani government has predictably denied that it is conducting any sort of ethnic cleansing. It says that those who are leaving are doing so on their own accord. It has also stated that Armenian claims that they are relying on Turkish mercenaries are untrue. Although Azerbaijani's president has said that those who stay will have their rights protected, international experts remain skeptical, apparently with good reason. The president previously called Nagorno-Karabakh's leaders a, quote, criminal hunter, unquote, that needed to be brought to justice. Moreover, the former president of the Nagorno-Karabakh government was arrested earlier this month as he was escaping via the Lechin Corridor. Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan has said that his country is preparing to, quote, welcome our sisters and brothers of Nagorno-Karabakh to the Republic of Armenia with all care, unquote. Armenia currently has a population of around 2.8 million. CNN reported that there are temporary refugee camps set up in the border towns of Goris and Kornitzor. The outlet also related that during a visit to Armenia, United States Agency for International Development, USAID, Chief Samantha Power, warned that the refugees were suffering from, quote, severe malnutrition, unquote. Humanitarian activist Gia Jakon has also raised awareness about the situation, posting on September 19th, another Christian genocide is underway in Nagorno-Karabakh. The world's first Christian nation, Armenia, is facing a second genocide. Now we are witnessing how Azerbaijan, in order to implement its policy of genocide, is moving. Will we continue to watch from the sidelines?
And now, Lou, we move back to the situation in American Babylon here as we get these evil October omens. And this is a story that first appeared in the People's Voice in May. Whistleblower, Ukraine is harvesting children in adrenochrome labs for VIP elites. A whistleblower who worked with the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE, revealed in a video interview that Ukrainian Nazi groups are harvesting the organs of children in basement labs that are being discovered after the buildings are destroyed by Russian strikes. And, of course, this article in the People's Voice was a predecessor to the courage of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who later exposed related matters to Congress, the CIA, and our government setting up Ukraine bioweapons labs. Once again, we refer you to hear the American Vindicta program for September 29th on globalstar.net with Doug Thornton and Robert Griswold. Very powerful program about the pedophile network and all the things. And we know that some people paid a very great price, and that may be Russ Dizdar and his wife. They may have not died a natural death. And we've heard about somebody very brave, a woman down on the border. This is from Captain Daryl Eberhardt, that the cartels who are associated with this trafficking and molestation, that they've put out a contract on her life, and she's trying to save individual children. Where are the men? Where are the men in this country? That's what I ask. Why is this woman down there having to do that? But we'll get into more of this, I'm sure, maybe tonight. And we now move on again in this Associated article. This was Natural News, and this was October 6, 2023, by Kevin Hughes. This is Benevolent U.S. Bioweapons Labs Pose a Serious Danger Around the World. For more than 50 years, the U.S. has set up bioweapons laboratories around the world, but these facilities, supposedly built for a benevolent purpose, now pose a serious danger to the countries they are in. And, you know, we have to say again that these stories of these labs are indeed evil October omens for all mankind. These appear to be just more depopulation agenda factories hidden, you see, under, quote, benevolent purpose. Well, at any rate, Kevin Hughes says, going on with his article, the laboratories have been cautiously established in host countries under the pretext of battling epidemics and, quote, improving health services. However, the close involvement of the U.S. Department of Defense, DOD, which runs no less than 336 such facilities, is a major red flag. It is worth noting that this number may be higher. Lou, we've heard that we have hardly any weapons left. We have hardly any task force there in the military since they were all injured by COVID and people aren't being recruited. But shouldn't our purpose be to defend America rather than have the DOD having 336 facilities like these biological weapon factories?
Yes, the one and only purpose of the United States military should be to defend this country. It always used to be that way.
Yes, it did. And now, going on with Kevin Hughes' work here, highly populated nations in Africa, such as Nigeria, are specifically exposed to such, quote, benevolent research. The involvement of the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency, now isn't that Orwellian? DTRA, an agency under the DOD, further solidifies the department's involvement in the labs. The DTRA, and again, that's the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency. It's more like they're the threat factory, isn't it? The DTRA has been working at, quote, modernizing and reconstructing the National Veterinary Research Institute in the town of Vom, located in Nigeria's Plateau State. Moreover, the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research is running related activities at the facilities of the Nigerian Ministry of Defense. The Institute has been testing specifically dangerous pathogens without informing local authorities, thereby exposing thousands of Nigerians and probably millions over the long term to severe biohazards. Yes, we have to ask, what are they incubating there? Will it come to haunt all of us?
That's a very good point.
All of this is depopulation. It's not going to stay in the third world any longer. I keep looking at those obituaries in the Maryland newspapers. Every week there are two or three died at home peacefully, and they're not old enough to have died peacefully or unexpectedly. They're still, once in a while, using that term. Well, the article says Russian military intelligence has discovered no less than four U.S. biolabs in the West African country, with Major General Igor Kirillov, I think that's Kirillov, noting the strange coincidences of outbreaks in neighborhoods where these labs are located. Oh, are you listening, Rahm Emanuel? Oh, my goodness. Related article, hundreds of accidents have occurred at U.S. biolabs, but were never reported. Now, when we're getting these evil omens in October, Lou, they're coming from the head chief of the New World Order, and that is Satan himself. So that when your correspondent there, pardon me, in Massachusetts, said he was going to look into those 40 secret installations, they were shelters for aliens, for illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, and the governor, I think that's Governor Healy, isn't that right, I believe?
I believe that's right.
I think Mara Healy, she had called up the National Guard under the commander, Donnelly, and this was, I think, Operation Task Force Shelter. But see, these 40 were secret. They were not run by other typical agencies, shelters. So we have to wonder, why were these secret? What were they going to do there? Could they experiment on some of those aliens? Could they give them some of these things that we're talking about here? Perhaps the Department of Defense, perhaps Walter Reed Institute. Maybe they will move their operation back to the homeland. We really just don't know. But at any rate, we go on with the article that Kirillov said, according to available information, there are at least four Washington-controlled biolaboratories operating in Nigeria, said Kirillov, who commands the Russian military's Radiation, Chemical, and Biological Defense Unit. According to local sources, tens of thousands of samples and genetic materials are being secretly moved to other U.S.-run biolabs, not only in Nigeria, but also overseas. The danger of creating yet another pandemic of worldwide magnitude due to such activities is significant, even if the DOD claims the research carried out there is, quote, benevolent. Despite these revelations, the West is unsurprisingly insistent that Moscow is, quote, engaged in disinformation. It has also dismissed these biological research facilities as, quote, harmless, and doubled down on the claims that Washington is, quote, simply trying to help, that's a quote, the host nations. Even before Kirillov disclosed the existence of the U.S. biolabs in Nigeria, several investigators have been studying this subject matter for years. Bulgarian investigative journalist Diliana Gaitanjieva, I believe, is among them, having broken the news story about identical biolabs in Georgia. She interviewed several locals who contracted, quote, mysterious diseases just because they were living in proximity of the facilities. Because of her coverage of this topic, she has experienced many abuses over the years. In one instance, she was expelled from the European Parliament in 2018 for questioning the then U.S. Assistant Secretary of Health over the biolabs present in 25 countries worldwide. Her interesting and pioneering work was also smeared by the mainstream propaganda apparatus as, quote, fake news.
Now, he is an evil October future war threat omen. China now has the largest navy in the world and is building more warships each month. from naturalnews.com, September 21st, 2023, by Richard Brown. Which country has the largest navy? If you think it's the U.S., think again. China now owns the distinction with 355 vessels in its fleet, as reported in a 2021 U.S. Naval Institute report. In comparison, the U.S. Navy operates a smaller fleet of 296 ships, according to the Center for Strategic and International Studies. But what's raising concern within the U.S. Navy is China's rapidly expanding shipbuilding capacity. According to leaked U.S. Navy intelligence, China's shipyards have a staggering capacity of over 23.2 million tons, which is more than 232 times greater than the U.S. capacity of less than 100,000 tons. This significant numerical advantage in shipbuilding poses a considerable challenge to the U.S. Navy. In its 2022 annual report on China's military development projects, the Pentagon said China's naval fleet will continue to grow, reaching 400 ships by 2025 and 440 ships by 2030. However, despite China's numerical lead, the U.S. Navy remains widely recognized as the world's most powerful navy. Even if the U.S. were to stop building ships, former U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper asserted in 2020 that it would take years for China to match the U.S. Navy's. And then we had this headline. As the kings of the East align for their prophetic destiny, Xi Jinping is done with Biden's established world order. He aims at new anti-American global empire. This was from Skywatch TV, September 10th. The world's most powerful leaders gathered in New Delhi for the year's premier diplomatic event, the G20 summit. But China's Xi Jinping deemed it not worth his time. His absence sends a stark signal. China is done with the established world order. Ditching the summit marks a dramatic turn in China's foreign policy. For the past several years, Xi has apparently sought to make China an alternative to the West. Now, Xi is positioning his country as a full-on opponent, ready to align its own bloc against the United States, its partners, and the international institutions they support. Xi's break with the establishment has long been coming. His predecessors integrated China into the U.S.-led global order by joining its foundational institutions, such as the World Bank and the World Trade Organization. For much of his tenure over the past decade, Xi has kept a foot in the door to that Western order, even as China's relations with the U.S. have deteriorated. China even participated, though grudgingly, in G20 efforts to help alleviate the debt burden on struggling low-income countries. But over the course of his rule, Xi has grown hostile to the existing order and intent on altering it. He is focused on developing alternative institutions that Beijing could lead and control. Xi formed the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank to rival Washington's World Bank, for instance, and promoted competing international forums such as the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, whose membership includes Russia and Iran. Xi is willing to hang on to some established institutions, such as the United Nations, that he thinks he can repurpose to promote his global aims.
Yes, Lou, and these omens are about money that are bad, too. Here was a headline from the Daily Hodel by Henry Canopy, September 22nd. And now I think you're going to have to tell me, you math teacher, what this is. It's 18,900,000,000. Now, how much is that?
That's such a long one. I forgot the first part of it. I think it's 18 and some odd billion, if I remember rightly. How many commas does it have?
It has three commas. 18
well,
is in the front.
Well, let's see, thousands. Millions, I guess it would be billions, so 18 billion.
18 billion, 900 million in U.S. treasuries. Boy, that's a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot of money.
Dumped by bricks.
Stuff for that.
That was dumped by bricks members, China, Brazil, India, and the UAE in 1 month. Several members of the Economic Alliance, known as BRICS, are discarding billions of dollars worth of assets backed by the U.S. government. New numbers from the Treasury Department show China is leading the charge, reducing its holdings of U.S. Treasuries from $835.4 billion in June to $821.8 billion in July, a decrease of $13.6 billion in 1 month. And then we have more money news here from the Daily HODL, again, September 22nd. Billion-dollar bank terminating cash transactions in all branches in abrupt shift to digital-only era. And this was a bank with more than $250 billion in total assets says it will soon terminate cash transactions in all of its branches. The Australia-based Macquarie Bank says it will launch a plan to eliminate all cash, check, and phone payment services in January, shifting to a digital operation by the end of the year 2024. And now we emphasize here the need for prayer to hold back the CBDCs, to hold back this whole thing. Australia is rapidly trying to bring in the one world government, we're sure. So, Lou, back to you.
Then we have this from the economiccollapseblog.com, August 21st, 2023. The next major war is reportedly about to begin, and D-Day has already been chosen. Not another one. As I have repeatedly warned my readers, leaders all over the globe seem to have come down with a really bad case of war fever. Instead of sitting down and attempting to find solutions through diplomacy, many of our leaders seem quite eager to use military force to settle matters these days. There is no peaceful end to the war in Ukraine on the horizon. China is making preparations to invade Taiwan. And the shadow war in the Middle East could easily erupt into a full-blown regional conflict. And this is Lou. I'll just interject. It seems like that's now a reality. Back to the article. But in this article, I am going to focus on the next war that is reportedly about to begin. A group of nations in Western Africa, known as ECOWAS, E-C-O-W-A-S, is preparing to invade Niger with the approval of the EU and the Biden administration and CNN, reporting that D-Day has already been chosen.
And if I may interject there, Lou, we know that Africa is a place that the elite, the New World Order, all want to get their fingers into because it's so rich in minerals and everything. It's untapped. China wants to be there. They all want to exploit it. Yeah. But at the same time, Bill Gates is making sure he's getting all these vaccines put into, you know, to reduce the population there, the third world population. But what, pick up the rest of that article.
I think that's all there is to it.
Okay.
Now, let's see. I think we go to you at this point, although I can continue with no problems.
What's your next number?
Six.
No, we go to you. You keep going.
Okay. We have this headline, massive fire shuts one of the largest oil refineries in the U.S. This came from a website called Daily Fetched, F-E-T-C-H-E-D, dailyfetched.com. A massive fire broke out at the petroleum refinery in Louisiana on Friday, forcing the plant, which is one of the largest oil refineries in the U.S., to shut down. The fire broke out at the Marathon Petroleum's Garyville refinery Friday morning, WDSU-TV in New Orleans reported. While the fire was extinguished on Monday, it still remains shut down, according to NOLA.com, the website of the New Orleans Times-Picayune. The WSJ, that would be the Wall Street Journal, reported that the fire also led to a two-mile radius evacuation order. And we have a quote, out of an abundance of caution, the facility began a shutdown process of units closed to the fire this morning, Marathon said in a statement Friday.
And, you know, we know what's happening with these plants being burned, and like the food plants, because there has to be a lot of fossil fuel used to make fertilizer. Isn't that correct?
So yes.
The farmers won't have the fertilizer, or it will cost too much, so there will be fewer foods, fewer crops grown.
That's right. In fact, we're going to lead into the next article here. It says, Trucker warns Biden's EPA regulations would be catastrophic for the food supply. This is from Fox News. President Joe Biden's administration finalized plans for a program it argues will further reduce air pollution from heavy-duty engines and vehicles across the United States. But truckers argue the proposed standards will crush the supply chain and put the American food supply at risk. The new emission standards put forth by the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, quote, are significantly more stringent, unquote. And then we also have a quote, they cover a wider range of heavy-duty engine operating conditions, unquote, compared to previous standards, and are aimed at reducing emissions of nitrogen oxides and other pollutants. The rule officially went into effect on March 27th of this year, but will be implemented for new trucks sold after 2027. Then we have this. This was by Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge. The date was September 22nd, 2023. This is the worst global food crisis in modern history, and it is about to go to an entirely new level. Hundreds of millions of people are desperately hungry all over the world. And by the time you are done reading this article, more children will starve to death. Earlier this year, CNN actually admitted that we are in the midst of the worst food crisis in modern history. But because the mainstream media rarely features images of the tremendous suffering on the other side of the globe, most Americans don't even know that it's happening. Here in the Western world, the primary way that the global food crisis is manifesting is through significantly higher prices at the grocery store. Those higher prices are certainly painful, but we can deal with that. But when you don't have enough food to feed your family on a consistent basis, that really is a nightmare scenario. According to the U.S., I make that the official UN website, 735 million people were in a, quote, state of chronic hunger, unquote, last year. By 2022, approximately 735 million people, or 9.2% of the world's population, found themselves in a state of chronic hunger, a staggering rise compared to 2019. This data underscores the severity of the situation, revealing a growing crisis. In addition, an estimated 2.5 billion people face moderate to severe food insecurity in 2022. This classification signifies their lack of access to sufficient nourishment. The number escalated by an alarming 391 million people compared to 2019. The persistent surge in hunger and food insecurity, fueled by a complex interplay of factors, demands immediate attention and coordinated global efforts to alleviate this critical humanitarian challenge. We have never seen numbers like this before.
Yes, Lou, and one reason we're having this program is that we are going by Ezekiel chapter 33. If we do not warn God's people, the blood will be on our shoulders. So if you would like to help us stay on the air, we do ask for you to send some help to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's P.O. Box 28, and that's Lou Caverly, and that's Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And now, you know, not every American is lying there docilely at the feet of the tyrants who are forcing the third world invasion on us. Here's a good omen. People taking a stand for the right. The Western Journal, August 25th, by Jenny Tare. Hundreds of New Yorkers fight back against city's plan to house migrants in converted school. Hundreds of New Yorkers protested a plan to house migrants in a Staten Island school Thursday evening into early Friday, according to WABC-TV. New York City previously decided to begin housing migrants in what was previously used as the St. John Villa Academy, which the city bought in 2018, according to WABC. The city's plan is soon to bring roughly 300 migrants into the converted school. Authorities made three arrests associated with the protest, according to the outlet. Locals are concerned about their community's safety because it's a residential area with two nearby schools, the report said. The state has already served roughly 100,000 migrants. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said Thursday, when she sent a list of demands for help to the Biden administration, Hochul asked Biden to expedite work permits for the migrants, give additional funds to help them go to school, help with erecting more shelters, provide reimbursements for National Guard deployments, and payments for future costs of their presence. Quote, this crisis is not slowing down. That's why today I sent a formal request to the White House to take a series of actions to support the more than 100,000 asylum seekers in New York, Hochul tweeted Thursday. And we then look at a little bit more of an associated article here. This is Natural News, September 28th. Cargo processing operations in El Paso temporarily suspended due to flood of illegal immigrants. Cargo processing operations at the Bridge of the Americas, BOTA, port of entry in El Paso, were temporarily suspended on September 18th due to a surge of illegal immigrants at the nearby Eagle Pass border crossing. According to the announcement of Customs and Border Protection, this suspension was necessary to redirect CBP personnel toward processing illegal immigrants or migrants who had arrived in El Paso and Eagle Pass. Trade stakeholders were advised to reroute their cargo to alternative processing facilities during the suspension. And so they go on to talk about this, and Maverick County Sheriff Tom Schmerzer, Schmerber, reported that thousands of migrants crossed into the United States at Eagle Pass over several days, prompting the declaration of a state of emergency in the Texas city due to a severe undocumented immigrant surge. And I guess we have also in there that the law enforcement officials revealed that this surge is just another tactic of drug cartels operating along the U.S.-Mexico border. And a local TV station, KVIA, reported that up to 500 asylum seekers, primarily from Venezuela, lined up at El Paso aiming to enter the United States. And they had been given the information, you see, that even though they were coming, and this is Elizabeth saying, illegally, they heard a report that criminal organizations had put out, and they were false, that these migrants could just go in there and be treated like normal legal immigrants, that they could go in and kind of get their appointments made, and then they could obtain asylum. You see, all of this is just treachery. And before we would get to Lou's article, I think it's important that I move on right now to the Western Journal, and we'll probably pick up Lou's next time. This is Christine Favocci, September 28th. Illegal alien fist bumps Border Patrol after agent cuts through border wire. Yes, you heard me right. When we talk about the conspiracy, there really is one to take down America. Shamefully, here we have the Border Patrol put in. Was it a fist bump or a punch in the gut? That depends on which side of the illegal immigration debate the viewer is on. While watching a video captured by the Daily Caller on Thursday, remember, this article was September 28th, the clip began moments after a U.S. Border Patrol agent reportedly cut a razor wire barrier to let several illegal migrants cross the southern border into Texas. One illegal alien showed his gratitude by fist bumping the agent, who stood aside to let more unvetted newcomers into a state and a nation in the throes of a humanitarian crisis. Mark Morgan, former acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner, was quick to defend the Border Patrol agents, whom he claims are simply doing as they're told. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens also stated that agents have a duty to act if they see illegal immigrants in harm's way, which lends another possible explanation, or more precisely, excuse for becoming their accomplices. Quote, if they start getting swept away by the currents, if they start succumbing to the environment, the extreme temperatures, the humidity, and my men and women see that they are not going to let somebody die or get into harm's way, Owen said Tuesday from Eagle Pass. However, the Daily Caller's clip didn't seem to show anyone in distress, nor was there a life in danger when a Fox News live stream caught National Guardsmen positioning a ladder to help illegal migrants scale a structure to get into the U.S. Lou, are these loyal Americans?
Well, it doesn't seem like it, does it?
No, we'd like to use the word traitor, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
That's what we're thinking. The article says instead it's becoming apparent that record illegal immigration is the goal rather than a failure of border enforcement at every level. It's true that the men and women of the Border Patrol have a difficult tightrope to walk between securing the border and keeping the people trying to enter illegally from getting injured or dying. Perhaps it's too difficult to tell these people to reverse course through dangerous terrain to return to destitute nations like Venezuela. However, this agent casually helping people break the law while the American people foot the bill for them is a bridge too far. This was not just a fist bump. It was a punch in the gut to every man, woman, and child who will suffer the consequences of his actions. And we would have to agree with that. You know, where is our first allegiance? Is it to the country in which we were born, Lou? What do you think?
Well, I would think it would have to be. And this Biden migration chain is just tearing down the nation. It's using up resources, and it's magnifying. You know, it's becoming more and more because, in essence, the government is saying, come on, come on. You can come and bring everybody you can with you. This is what Biden did in the cheap ploy during one of the debates before he became president. And they have done nothing whatsoever to alleviate the situation.
Anything more on that?
Well, that pretty well wraps it up, I think.
I think so, too. We're living in unprecedented times, and each day you need to turn to Jesus Christ, and you need to repent of sins that day. You need to put your full faith that He will help you with any problems. He helps Lou and me. Certain things we never expect blow up, and then we have to do something about it. And, you know, you don't despair. Health, relationships, nothing. If you're under Jesus Christ, you have the victory. And it's been a pleasure to come to you, and we're thankful for a few new listeners. One is Elliot, out there in that, what he calls that nut job state. We're glad to have him with us. We're glad to have other new listeners. May God bless all of you, and tune in again next week to The Divided Kingdom. Good night.